The stress in your life, you better get rid of it. But he'll be talking about that. So Dr. Mark Rabinowitz, he's a nationally recognized physician, healthcare authority. He's been on television and radio, a lot of talk shows. And he founded the Southampton-based Prevention First Healthcare. It's a practice which focuses on proactive wellness. That's different. You go to him when you're well. Proactive wellness with no wait times. Patients even have access to a cell phone. How do you like them apples? And he can be reached if you want to call him at 215-PREVENT or online. But I just want to tell you this. He is offering a half hour free consultation. You can go down there and just talk to him for about 30 minutes. And we're going to be talking to him, but I'm anxious to see. I mean, I think I have a kind of a sort of a stressful life. I know what to do to get out of it, but let's talk to Dr. Rabinowitz. Dr. Rabinowitz, how are you?
Pat, how's my favorite radio
now? Oh, fine, thank you. My favorite doctor.
Thank you.
Now, this is a great topic.
It certainly is.
Stress can kill. So now I'll just read this little thing about you. So how could everyday stress? When I talk to a friend of mine, she'll say, "I'll say I have certain things. I have a lot of stress." She said, "Oh, everybody's got stress. Everybody has stress." But how could everyday stress, which we all have in one way or another, like me rushing to get here, is a little stressful. I know how to cure that. But how could it cause something so serious, heart ailments, even fertility problems? What about that?
Well, there's probably evidence that came out of a recent study that was published in the Journal of Neuroscience. And what they did was they took mice, believe it or not, mm-hmm. and they stressed them by putting more aggressive mice in to a cage with more passive mice. And what happened was the mice forgot how to do things. They couldn't remember how to escape. They couldn't remember how to find food. And then what they found out that there was a part of the brain that was actually affected called the hippocampus. And what they found when they looked at that part of the brain, that there was inflammation. And that the immune system of the mice basically attacked it based because of the stress. And what they feel is that the scientists, that inflammatory cells in our body begin to attack certain organs when we're under chronic stress.
Mm-hmm.
So now, it's an inflammatory response.
It is. How does that show up? The inflammatory response.
Well, the inflammatory. I'll give you an example. When we were speaking about women and heart disease,
yeah.
We talked about a broken heart syndrome or something that cardiologists will use the word apical ballooning syndrome. They will call it a broken heart syndrome. So the heart muscle will become weakened. And the only thing the doctors can find, and I've seen this myself a number mm-hmm. of times, is the patient was under an undue amount of stress. And there was no other explanation. That means these people had cardiac catheterizations, had clean coronary arteries. There was no infection. There was nothing wrong with their thyroid gland. And that when the stress was relieved, with medications, the heart often will return to normal.
Oh, is that true?
It can. Sure,
oh.
I've seen that before.
But now the heart doesn't return to normal after somebody has a big heart attack, though,
no,
correct?
No, that's different. No, well,
yeah,
that's
different.
The destruction of the muscle.
That's yeah.
sort of like basically a stunning of the muscle.
Well, now, how do we deal with, this sounds like a stupid question, but who knows? I want to tell you something. I'll back up. One of my callers said, I think you have a very nice speaking voice on the radio, but he seems to think it's too soft, but what I'm thinking is maybe you're not speaking loud enough or something.
Who, you mean me?
Yeah, you. Because I push your volume way up. I mean, you are soft-spoken. And I told him, that's what you want. You want a physician. You want them to be calm and soft-spoken.
And not stressed.
And not stressed and not freaking out on the radio like that other guy is. Okay, now, in your practice, have you seen patients deal with stress-related health problems? And how do you work with them to relieve stress?
Well, that's an excellent question. You know, people will come to a doctor with a myriad of different mm-hmm. complaints. And one of the things that we do in my practice that, you know, I have the ability to do is I give people a large amount of time. So I just listen. I just keep my mouth shut and mm-hmm. I listen. They've done studies. The average length of time that a physician allows a patient to speak before the physician interrupts them is 18 seconds. I give people minutes and minutes to, you know, to talk and get things off their chest, and then I'll intercede with the questions that I need. Uh-huh. So you have to listen to people, but often people come in with different complaints. They have may complain of muscle tension, loss of appetite, indigestion, mm-hmm. headaches. They're grinding their teeth. They're shaking. They have no energy. They're not mm-hmm. sleeping. And as a medical doctor, you have to do our usual thing, which is a thorough history taking, a complete physical examination. And then you order lab studies, and you see. And when everything comes back normal and you sort of get a flavor that there's no serious organic medical problem, then you can sit and say to a patient, you know, I think that some of these problems that you're feeling, your symptoms are real symptoms. You never tell a patient their symptoms aren't real. They're absolutely real. But the source of the symptom may be stress that they're under, which is leading to anxiety mm-hmm. and in some cases actual panic attacks.
Mm-hmm. Panic attacks. What does that seem like to
well,
you?
Well, a panic attack is somebody that tells you they have an impending sense of doom, that they feel the room is closing in, their heart is pounding like it's going to come out of their chest.
Right.
They have to escape wherever they are. And it's very real. It is very upsetting to people. And you really need to be very, very patient with your patients
uh-huh.
To listen to them, to guide them through it. And we help people with that all day long.
Hmm. Well, we do, and there's no doubt about it. We live in a very stressful environment. I think we have jobs, we have families. Certainly, I think doctors have the same problem.
It's absolutely true.
Right?
I mean, look, I deal with
my stress. That's a pretty stressful job.
I exercise avidly.
Uh-huh.
I read. I make sure that I take time off. I take vacations. I see my children,
mm-hmm.
my wife, my friends. You know, there's a lot of ways to release stress. I think getting a good night's sleep, you know, getting a good 7 or 8 hours of good restful restorative sleep. And you had said something interesting that, you know, one of your stresses is getting to the radio station on time. Well, that is stressful. But you said, well, I know how to manage that.
I know how to take care of it, but I don't do it.
Well, you know, there's a very good book if people have to ever read it. It's called Habit. And it was a New York Times bestseller, and I've read it several times. And when reading it, there's a lot of neuroanatomy, which is probably more than most people would, you know, need to know or be able to understand. Not to be belittling, but it's. I think it's written, that part's for physicians and neuroscientists.
Mm-hmm.
But the long and short of it is, it teaches people ways to alter their habits, because their feeling is that we just function from habit all the time. And if you think, we eat the same foods, we go to the same places, we drive the same path in our car. So in terms of stress relieving, you have to make a conscious effort to pick one habit that you're going to change. I'll give you a great example.
You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me?
You're exactly right.
Well, no, what I personally do when I try and get my talk to my patients about is before I go to bed at night, I make sure that my coffee maker is set, because I like a cup of coffee in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong with that. I make sure that my food, and I bring healthy food to work, because you get hungry, all of us do. But it's bananas, it's grapes, it's blueberries, that my lunch is packed. So that when I get up in the morning, I just walk down my kitchen, everything's ready to go. I walk out the door, or if things have to go to work with me, it's already packed in my car the night before, so I don't inadvertently leave it at home. And I always try and leave myself. I know how much time it takes,
mm-hmm.
and how much time I need to do things, and I try and impress that upon, you know, my children as well. Get to work half an hour early. Sit down. Relax. Have your coffee. Get your day organized.
Oh, my God. See, that's what I can't stand. I don't like to be real early for things and sit around.
But you see, that's stressful. If you if you arrive early, and you don't have to arrive an hour early, but if you arrive early, that will just relieve the stress. You'll be calmer.
Right.
And this is true for everybody listening. If you plan for the next day, it's also true when we deal with people with weight management.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the hardest things that I have is just trying to get people to change their habit to use one of the multiple apps on your phone, on a smartphone. There's Lose It, MyFitnessPal, Weight Watchers has an app, MyCalorieCount.about.com. There's plenty of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all good. To record what they're eating. Then they can come to the doctor and say, look, this is what I've done. And then when I see what they're doing, those are the people that I can help. There's a gentleman on my website, for people that are interested, who I helped lose 75 pounds. No drugs, no surgery, just behavior. And he was honest. I said, John, what are you eating? Because I couldn't get his cholesterol to come down with four different medicines.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw what I was eating, he had developed habits that he just didn't realize were actually bad in terms of what his diet was. And by him really complying with it, writing it down, talking about it, and us making small changes over a period of time, he ended up losing that 75 pounds. That took over a year or two.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's a good length of time.
And he was less stressed.
Well, you know, did you say the name of that book is Habit?
It's called Habit, H-A-B-I-T.
Yeah, but is it for professionals?
No. It was a New York Times bestseller. The reason I say it is that when people read it, there are portions of the chapters that delve into neuroanatomy. It's very, very complicated how the brain works with neurotransmitters and parts. And I know that it's necessary for the lay public to be consumed with that. And so I wouldn't put the book down and get bored. I would just sort of, you know, skim through that till you get to the actual part that teaches you why we behave the way we behave. And then when you begin to understand it, then you can begin to make habit changes. And hopefully those habit changes will result in less stressful behaviors.
Hmm. Well, you know, I was just talking to my sister yesterday. She's a genius. She really is.
Well, she's
but
your sister.
My sister is a genius, yeah. She really is. And it was funny. I was telling her how I stay up late. I work at night a lot of times. I've always been a night person, but I think it's ridiculous. I'm trying to push it back, but I'm absolutely not tired at night. And so I do work and do whatever I'm doing. So I was telling her, I said, I think it's a weird form of insomnia. And then she said to me exactly what you said. She said, no, it's a habit. It's just a habit. You have a habit of staying up late. Now that makes sense, doesn't it?
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. I'm trying to push it back to midnight now. That's what I'm doing.
Everybody works differently. I mean, I know physicians that don't make rounds until the evening, and they may be in the hospital at 11 o'clock at night, but they start later in the day. And that works for them. It works in their family life. It works in their personal life. I think it's different than what I do, but what I do getting up at 5 in the morning works for me because it allows me the ability to deal with the uncertainty that my day brings. For example, last night I had to run back to the hospital. Three of my patients came in who were quite ill, and I had to go back there and spend hours. But my day work had been done. I had gotten up early in the morning. I had achieved every goal that I needed to, you know, for the care of my patients. And then when these uncertainties hit, I was less stressed because all of my other work had been done, and now I can go, you know, focus all of my attention to these people.
Well, now, here's another question for you. What role does nutrition play? I know it about exercise.
That's an excellent question. What tends to happen when people are under stress, and I'll give you a personal example. When we deal with people that are ill, you know, I'm thinking, I'm using my brain, I'm on the phone with specialists, I'm calling different doctors, I may be calling different universities, coming up with a plan to diagnose and treat these people that I care for. I mean, I love what I do, I love my patients, and I look at them as I do my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you ask anyone that knows me, they'll tell you that. I really take every single patient with me, the only person on the planet other than myself, and I focus my care on them. But, you know, you get a little hungry. So you run out to the front, you want to grab some coffee, and what's there is cake. That's why what I do is I leave bananas and fruit and grapes, things I can get to pretty quickly that won't go bad sitting on my desk.
Right.
And the reason for that is if you're going to use sugar, the coffee is black, by the way, but if you're going to use sugar, you get a rush. So you get a rush from the sugar, and then you get a crash afterwards. And that's why sometimes, and caffeine can do that too, so I think you have to keep limits. I mean, if I'm talking coffee, I'm saying 2-3 sips of coffee, black coffee, not a big cup. But sugary foods, simple carbohydrates, candy, will give you that energy in a rush, only to be followed by a crash.
Hmm. Isn't that what happens sometimes? People that work in offices will say, if they have carbohydrates at lunchtime, then they're crashing around 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Correct.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
And that can happen to all of us, but by eating things that are complex carbohydrates, like an apple, most fruits, certainly vegetables, Give you an example. In our office, we really promote healthy eating. So when if somebody wants to give us a presentation and bring lunch, they're told it has to be healthy food, which is chicken, fish, Mediterranean food for the most part, vegetables. And we were thrilled. Somebody sent in this huge plate of string beans. And I'm sure people are listening thinking, no, that's exactly what I want for my lunch. But you know what? We were thrilled because you can pretty much eat as many string beans as you want. You're not going to gain an ounce.
You want me to tell you something? You know what my addiction is?
I'm afraid to ask.
French style string beans.
Really?
I eat them right out of the can sometimes. I put them in eggs. I love them. I absolutely love them, and I could eat the whole can by myself, a big one. But I put them in the frying pan in the morning, a little spray stuff, and I scramble one egg, and I put it in there. And it's like a gigantic thing with all those beans in it. I love it.
No, and it's good for you.
Yeah. Okay, now what are the warning signs? Now we know that answer. I know a lot of these answers, you know, doctor. What are the warning signs you need?
For some people, people tell you that they
should go to a doctor.
They're dizzy. They may have aches and pains. They may come in grinding their teeth, headaches, indigestion or symptoms of acid reflux, burning in their throat, loss of appetite, muscle tension, insomnia, problems falling asleep. Often people complain of a racing heartbeat, sweaty palms, tiredness. There may be a gain or loss of weight, maybe sexual problems or irritability.
Okay, well, that's out. What about vitamins? Are there any certain kind of vitamins or herbs that we could take?
There are people that will tell you, and there's certainly branches of alternative medicine at major medical centers that deal with this, where there are people that will tell you that nothing helps them, but when they take supplements, they feel better. It's a $34 billion a year industry.
Right.
So clearly people buy into it, and I guess it must make them feel better. They wouldn't take it. I still am a little more old school, and I think that if people eat stick to the outside of the supermarket and they're eating things that are not coming in packages, they're probably going to get as many as many vitamins as what their body needs, and that taking a supplement will just, they're water soluble, so they get excreted in the urine. Now, having said that, probably most people are not going to eat 3 to 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every single day.
That's right.
This way, a once-a-day multiple vitamin will make up for anything that you miss in your diet. There's no harm in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way I feel. We don't eat a lot of raw foods all the time, and, you know, we boil the heck out. I boil the heck out of those French-style string beans, so what am I getting, really? Just little fibery things. But anyway, because there are vitamins that they say are particularly good for stress, like the B vitamins. And so where else can you get B?
Well, you know, that's a good point that you raise about vitamins. Certainly anything that's an antioxidant, vitamin C, vitamin E, those things cut down inflammation. And as we've spoken about with the mice, if you cut down the inflammation, that often will cut down the damage that's done to the body by stress.
Well, I know, because they have names on the bottles. Some they say stress-free or something, and then it's all the B vitamins, I think. But B comes out of what, meat? Where do you get B vitamins from? I think meat.
Certainly any vegetables that you would eat.
Oh, veggies.
Green vegetables. But, I mean, meat would certainly have some vitamins in it also. And there's nothing wrong with eating a little bit of red meat once in a while.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I know someone who's a vegetarian, doesn't even eat eggs, nothing, and became anemic. So has to take B something or other under the tongue.
Europe, if someone is what's called a vegan, they absolutely have no animal products, no eggs, no meat.
That's right.
No dairy, no cheese. They have to be very careful because they can get anemic. They can become ill, so they have to be, either speak with their physician or a nutritionist, and they have to be very specific about adding B vitamins.
There you go. Okay, now, how can we proactively manage stress in a tense environment? And I think most of us are in a kind of a tense environment. If you have a situation at home, how about that? If you have a situation at home, if you're a caregiver, and you have a person that you're taking care of, a husband, a wife, whatever, that's a stressful situation. What can you do in that case?
I was going to say to you, I deal with this a lot. I have many families where the husband or wife is a caretaker for their long-term spouse, 40, 50, 60 years, suffering with either medical problems or memory loss. And they can't run away. They can't remove themselves from the situation. So what we do with situations like that is we try and get help for them. Those people need a break. They need support. Mm-hmm. They may need support with the person physically, or if not, for someone to sit with their loved one while they go out and run an errand, go to a movie, so they can relieve that stress.
Mm-hmm. That works. That type of thing works. Like you mentioned, you have to spend social time. I think people have a good social life. They go on vacations and they have a group of friends and all. They live longer, I think. That's because of stress.
We can talk about that on one of the shows. But
yeah.
One of the lectures that I give, and it's based upon a book by a man. His name was Dan Buettner, who was commissioned by National Geographic to look at the areas of the world where the community lives over the age of 100. Not one person, most of the people. And when you look at what they do, they are active. Some mm-hmm. of them still work into their 90s. They're active socially. They're active spiritually. They're active physically. They're active mentally. They're active with their family. It's about having a purpose. It's about getting up in the day, mm-hmm. having a goal for your life.
Yeah. Is that the Blue Zone?
Yes. Yes.
Blue Zone.
Do you know why it's called the Blue Zones?
Why?
Because when they were finding these areas, they used the blue magic marker to identify them.
I thought it was some chemical thing in the dirt.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty. I sort of like useless information.
Oh, I think that's great. I love that. That's true. And also, CBS did a show one night. I've talked about it on the radio about the 90-somethings and what they all had in common.
Correct.
And one of the commonality things was that the moderate drinker, the person that had maybe a drink a day or every other day, the moderate drinkers had less dementia than the abstainers.
That's been found repeatedly, and they're not sure why.
No.
It's typically tied into red wine, like 3 ounces of red wine, and they think it's due to a chemical in the skin of the red grape, and it's called resveratrol. You can buy that as a vitamin.
Yeah,
but what they
yes.
found out is the vitamin itself doesn't seem to have the same effect as the glass of red wine, and they think it may have to do with the calming effects of the alcohol. Now, the people that need to watch that are obviously anybody with liver disease, people that are taking multiple medicines that could pass out, or in women, there may be some increase in breast cancer risk with drinking red wine.
Well, you know, I have to tell you this. She can't hear me now. I have a 90-year-old longtime friend. Every day of her life, she has one shot of vodka on the rocks with three olives stuffed with garlic. And she's 90. She'll be 91 soon. And her mother died at 97. Her mother did the same thing. Every day, they just have this one thing, a cocktail hour.
I have patients like that who are still working in their 90s.
Well, she works.
A shot of Crown Royal every day. They've been doing it for 50 or 60 years.
But wait a minute. She works, too, 2 days a week.
But can I tell you something? My wife and I talked about that.
Yeah.
And I sort of look at and I'm young. I'm in my 50s. And I thought, geez, you know, when would I actually retire? My wife looked at me. She said, how are you ever going to retire? Even when you're home, you're in your office, you're calling patients, you're doing research, you're looking up topics.
Don't ever retire.
Oh, I don't plan on it.
Don't ever retire. I think you should work until you drop. That's what I think.
That's what my father did. So
I'm serious. It's great. I mean, I'm always going to work. Now, well, we're out of time anyway. Let's tell folks again. I enjoy talking to you very much, Dr. Mark.
No, and I always enjoy our conversation.
Okay, it's very good. So for a free 30-minute consult, you can call Dr. Mark's Southampton office at 215-PREVENT. I think it'll be worth your while to do that. Or you can visit him online at, what is the online?
It's 215-PREVENT.com.
Oh, same thing. Okay. 215-PREVENT.com. All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Mark.
You. Look forward to seeing you next week.
And I'm going to try to get here earlier.
Try it. We'll talk about it. Tell me how you feel.
Okay.
All right,
thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, he's the best. He is the best. Okay, let's take a little shorty break, and I'll be right back.
All commentators heard on WBCB express their own views. Their opinions are not necessarily those of others on WBCB, including the staff and management.
We hop to it.
Your home is important to you, and it's important to us. That's why you don't pay us a dime until you are 100% satisfied with the work we do for you. And our team is guaranteed as well. Drug-free and background checked, licensed and insured. 100% to your satisfaction. Call today. We're a hop away. Tell them, Joey.
A Brooks Kangaroo. We hop to it.
Hop to our website, abrooksconstruction.com.
Okie dokie. All right. It's 12:55. I actually could take a phone call if you want to call me up. I think it's very interesting. I think a lot of people should know that. You should pay attention to that book, even if you could get it. And they even said that about the Blue Zone is one, but the CBS show that I saw about the 90-somethings, it was a national study they did. And they went to California, they went to Florida, and they gave them cognitive tests also to see how their brain was working. And some did better than others. Of course, there was some cognitive decline, I guess, when you get up there. But now this friend of mine, I had two friends that were that age. One just died, not because of that. But she was sharp as a tack. She was brilliant. I mean, she was the one that passed away. She was very brilliant, and she wrote, and she did this and that, and read a lot. And she kept her mind going. And then my other friend is, I think she was an accountant or a bookkeeper in her life past. I've known her since the 60s, actually. And she's terrific. And she just plays bridge all the time. She works a couple of afternoons a week in the summertime at a gallery. What else does she do? She plays a lot of those games, but she's active in auxiliary. She does bookkeeping for the auxiliary. So she keeps on hopping. I mean, she really is good. Drives, and she doesn't seem her age at all. But, you know, then again, what is the age? I mean, as long as you have good health. Now, my other friend had a heart condition, so that was different. Once you get heart issues, it slows you down. It definitely does. But you got to keep your mind active, and I think you have to call talk shows, and you have to keep up with the news. And I think a bad sign, I have another person that I know that is losing interest in anything like that. I mean, and I think that's a very bad sign. We're the same age. It doesn't have any interest in even reading anymore. And she doesn't think anything's wrong with her, and I guess nothing's wrong with her, but it's all your attitude. You have to keep on going. And I see people when we go out, when we go to the senior centers and wherever we go, there's all types of older people. And I think a lot of, well, if you have halfway decent health, I mean, you do slow down and you have aches and pains that you didn't have before. But the thing is, it's all your attitude. I think that you can keep on going and learn things. I'm going to learn Spanish now. We'll see how that works. Everybody laughs at me. But I think that's a good thing to do. Why not? I got the little CDs and the book. And seems pretty easy, but I have one of my grandsons has taken it every year in high school. And he said, you know, it's not easy. I said, well, you think I can't do it? Well, why? No, I don't say that, but it's not easy. You shouldn't tell people that. I told him that. I said, when someone tells you they're going to do something, you don't say it's not easy. It's like when someone's going to have a baby. You don't tell them that it hurts. You just don't mention it. You don't lie to them, but you don't talk about it. So why say, oh, learning a language is... Look, some people are better at languages than they are at math, for example. So maybe it won't be so bad. I don't think I think I would be okay with that. So we'll see what happens. I haven't had a minute to get started. Okay, what's today? Wednesday. We have coming up after me, Just Music. Holy smokes, are you happy? Tomorrow, we're going to be doing a great show with St. Mary. We're going to be at Parks Casino between 12 and 1. And I look forward to that, seeing as I've never really been in there. Well, we'll see.